You're listening to Everlasting Fruit with B. Charles. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you to seek God daily. It's about learning to be intentional in our walk with the Lord by remaining rooted in Christ. It's about reading to know and love God's Word. It's about producing fruit that brings glory to God. It's a journey of growth and everlasting fruitfulness. Join me weekly so that together we can draw encouragement from the Word of God. I pray that the Lord will use this podcast to move you to seek Him daily for every day and for every area of your lives. Let's get into it. Ladies, welcome back. Previously on Everlasting Fruit, we discussed that we understand love through the lens of our Creator. In this episode, we will cover the question, how do I recognize love? So to recognize love, we don't look to St. Valentine or Shakespeare or, novelists or whatever it is. We definitely do not look to our cultures or the media for love. We look to God. In 1 John 4 verses 8, it confirms that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Everything that God does is from the outflow of His love for us. That's why He inspired Paul to teach that no matter what we achieve or do, if it isn't out of love, then it is meaningless or it is useless. So when we act, we do it out of love. So for us to be able to recognize love, we need a relationship with God so that He can reveal all that He is to us as our loving Creator. Knowing God helps us recognize what love is. God loves us even when we are unlovable and when we are undeserving. There is nothing we can do to move God to love us more than He already does, because God is love itself. Like, He is the essence of love. Anyway, let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, so that we can give some background to this. It states, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So when we reflect on this passage, we learn what love is and isn't. In this passage, we learn that love is patient, love is kind, love rejoices with the truth, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love is unending. We also learn that love is not envious, love is not boastful, love is not arrogant, love is not rude, it does not insist on its own way, love is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So to recognize love, we must have these attributes in mind. We all have somehow adopted a wrong understanding of love based on what we've subscribed to, or even the things that we read, things that we watch. We all somewhat learn from these things, and they've kind of askewed our understanding of love, or, you know, how we perceive love. But the Word of God provides the correct definition and understanding, and the Word of God is our model. In John 15, verses 9 to 13, it states this, "As the Father has loved me," this is Jesus speaking, by the way, "so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That's right. We love one another as Jesus loves us. Not as yourself, because most people do not even know how to love themselves. We get this idea of, you know, love your neighbor as yourself from Matthew 22:39, which states just that, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, this is the reason why I stress not just reading a verse, because when we read just one particular verse and try to make sense out of it, we understand it out of context. I love a saying by a YouTuber named Alan Parr. He says, if you take a verse out of context, you will be conned. That's right. So to put this verse in context, we need to look at the previous verses. Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, and he stated that the first was that you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the basis of loving others, in that to love others as ourselves, we must first love God. We are created in God's image, so we have the capacity to love. However, since sin entered into this world, sin distorts love. Sin separates us from God. But Jesus came to reconcile us to God and corrects this distortion. He teaches that to love, we must remain in Him as He remains in the Father. If we love ourselves the way that God loves us, we can love others as ourselves, because it flows from God's love. That is why we should be wary when people love others as themselves when they are not in Christ. Because if they had a choice, self will always prevail in them. Because if you're in Christ and you love others, you place others above yourself. You put away your preferences for the benefit of others, or, you know, for things to be in favor of another. So we see Jesus explaining that his obedience as well is from the outpouring of love from God the Father. The love of Jesus is transformative. And we know this, like every Christian who has come to the knowledge of God, who has, you know, repented of their sins and has been saved by Jesus, we know that this transformation is real and it happens. And that translates to a transformation of how we express love to God, to each other, and even to ourselves. We are to love all others like Jesus loved all people. We love whether people are lovable or unlovable. That shouldn't change anything. We should still continue to love. We love like Jesus by seeking the benefit of others over our own. We serve others, not ourselves. So this is not a selfish kind of love. The love of God is not self-seeking. Loving others accomplishes God's will in both our lives and in those that receive the love that we give. This is why we are to be mindful in how we love, on how we demonstrate love, because to an individual, you may be the only picture of God's love that they have ever encountered. So please, let us represent the Lord well. I mean, if we go even further, even in marriage, love has a standard. Love is recognized through the lens of how Jesus loves the church, which is us. In Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 30, it directs that, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So Jesus is the head of the church. So love is demonstrated according to how Christ loves. So in marriage, or for those in relationships and hoping to get married, when the word says husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, it means that they should be loving their wives according to the way that Christ loves. So if you're unmarried and wondering how to recognize if you're being loved right in your relationship, ask yourself, how did Jesus love the church? Study this with your husband, with your fiance, with whoever it is that you are in a very committed and serious relationship, maintaining all sanctity. Study this. It will transform your views on how love should be demonstrated. Ladies, we are to be loved as Christ loves the church. Agape love is always demonstrated through action. Jesus loves, and so he acted by dying for our sins. Jesus loves, so he does a work in us so that we can remain holy and without blemish, so that he can present us to the Lord spotless, clean, and pure. Agape love is always seeking to benefit the recipients. It is not looking to be the beneficiary of the love, because love is a giver. Even when it cannot be reciprocated, it still gives. I see a lot of musts, you know, when people relate to one another in relationships. I mean, I've seen that too. You must do this because you're the wife. You must do this because you're the husband. You must do this because you're the children. You must, you must, you must. Forcing someone to act on something is not love, and that has never been God's intention. In fact, someone acting on something they have been forced may give you the result that you're seeking, but it will destroy trust. It will destroy the sanctity of the relationship. It will make you question whether you are being respected. It will destroy the honor and the respect of the relationship. It will bring insecurities in the relationship and breed resentment. And we know that love is not resentful. When we love right, it creates the right atmosphere or environment for others to grow and progress. So in relationships, we love not out of our own self-concocted love, which we see in a lot of relationships. We love like Christ loves. We love as God loves us. When you're loved properly, you will not indulge your foolishness. You will not indulge the things you're used to doing that are sinful, because in the long run, those things are not eternally beneficial. Love does not appease the flesh and desires that act against the testimony of Christ. So keep that in mind when you're in relationships or you're not yet married. Love does not appease of the flesh. Actually, even in your marriages, there are some things that you want to act out in flesh. It does not appease the flesh. It does not appease desires that act against the testimony of Christ. So if you're in a family, if you're in a marriage, if you're in a relationship, a friendship, or even an environment, and those close to you are praising your wrong behavior or your wrong actions, they're not demonstrating love. People should not applaud sin. They should not applaud abomination. An attribute of love is that it does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Rather, love corrects, it rebukes, it sets things right. For many of us, this may be offensive. You know, we may get offended when we're corrected. It may hurt our feelings, and it may even hurt our ego, actually. Love does not shy away from kindly and gently bringing others to the truth. The way in which we are all to love others is that we should point others towards Christ. So in whatever environment we find ourselves in, if it brings us to repentance and closer to God, then we're being loved just right. So let's recap on what characteristics we should look for in love. Love is fruitful. Its fruit is patient and kind. So don't be surprised when your patience is tested. Love produces fruit. Love brings about goodness. It brings about peace. It brings about kindness. It brings about things that are positive and uplifting. Things that bring growth and maturity in someone that propels them and drives them to a closer relationship with God. So that's the fruitfulness you should look for in love. Love is truthful. It rejoices when truth prevails. We've discussed this. So stand for truth, even if it will be painful for others to bear, even if it may cost you much, because love is truthful. It does not tolerate what is false. It does not entertain sin. Love confronts what is wrong with what is right and true. So we are in a world that says, if you love, let people be. Let them become whatever they want to become. But the truth is that draws them further away from God, because God is not the model of love for this world. Love rejoices with the truth, but it does not tolerate anything contrary to the standard of God. So we are to be like Christ, not like anything else that we want to emulate out there. We are to be like Christ, and that's the standard that God has for us. Again, love is faithful. It is hopeful and believes all things. So remain rooted in Christ so that you can remain faithful in all things and not just relationships. Love hopes for good. It seeks the good in others. Living in a state of, you know, suspicion will only hinder your ability to love. So let go and love freely. Love is strong. It bears all things. Those who love, they must be strengthened. To bear all things requires strength, and we have that in Jesus. Bearing all things is not the same as tolerating sin. It's not the same as tolerating abuse or taking it. It's not the same as accepting lies or harmful behavior, etc. Love is strong, but the strength of love does not mean you should stand and stay when treated in a harmful way or when you're being abused. Love is committed. It endures all things and it never ends. Love remains even when we are given reasons not to. It remains because it is not just about how we feel. It is a commitment to the decision to act in favor of another. Love is committed to forgiveness, and that is why it can endure all things. But please do not take this out of context and think I'm encouraging you to endure harmful situations. Love does not harm. It does not insist on its own way. It is not arrogant or rude. So get away from an environment where you're not safe. It is not surprising that one of the recipes of healing is forgiveness. Love is committed to forgive because we have a gracious God who has forgiven us. Forgiveness heals because it frees us from the bondage of resentment. It frees us from being slaves to those who have hurt us. So again, love is committed, and it is also committed to forgiveness. Love is respectful. All of us desire to be respected. Love should not embarrass. It should not shame. It should not ridicule you. Love honors. Love does not force. Love protects, and love shields its recipients. This does not mean that your feelings would not be hurt, because, hey, how we respond to things usually is based on, you know, our understanding of certain things. So just because somebody's correcting you and your feelings are hurt, it does not mean that they are being harmful or that they are wrong. You just need to take the correction and reflect on it and, change your behavior based on that. When you're respected, there are certain confrontations that will happen in order to keep you in the right path. When you aren't ready for these confrontations, it may of course, hurt your feelings. You may feel attacked, but with time, you will understand. You will see the right in someone's confrontation, the right in someone's correction. An example of this, this type of correction is from our parents, especially in the teenage years, when we're, there's a lot of contention there. We're trying to, you know, hold on to some type of identity that we're discovering at that point. Their correction may be hurtful to our feelings. We may feel attacked. But eventually we learn, and hopefully we learn for the better. So we need to ensure that we are open to being corrected. We need to ensure that even in that correction, we're also, you know, remaining or continuing to be respectful and honorable, right? Anyway, so there is a difference between recognizing and acting in love. I'm sure we will all agree that we now recognize that love is kind. But do we act with kindness? We always want to be recipients of love. But why not start by being the one who loves? So it's one thing to recognize, but to act is another. And love is an action word. So we must act. So you can just know that love is respectful, but you're not respectful. So be respectful. And we know that in our journey of loving others, we should always be the ones to lead with love. We saw that Jesus was hated, but he led with love anyway. Love is not passive. It is very direct. It does not leave you guessing. It gives you answers. It does not make you fearful or burden you. In fact, love unburdens you with the cares of life of this world. I pray that in your relationship, you will put God first and yield to his guidance when he's leading you to act in love. I am discussing how to love or how to recognize love, because we are constantly bombarded with various definitions of what love is. In knowing what love is, you can determine what love isn't. So how do you recognize love? You do so by studying the Word of God to know him and understand his attributes. Unless we develop a relationship with him, we will always fall short in recognizing love, because God is love and his love is everlasting. God loved us first, and that is where we go to understand love. For us to be able to give love, we must have the love of the Father in mind. I hope this episode leads you to open your Bible and study what God says about love. So anyway, join me next week so that we can explore another topic on love. Talk to you soon, and God bless.
Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review. I look forward to reading all of them. And don't forget to share the encouragement with your friends and family. Also, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Everlasting Fruit Podcast, or you could shoot me an email at everlasting.fruit8@gmail.com. That's everlasting.fruit8@gmail.com. Until the next time, God bless.